From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message on the theme, Thy Kingdom Come, Praying for the Reign of Grace, part of this series in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's meditation is entitled, Comfort on the Way Home. The text is Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Joseph had been an incarnate providence to his brethren. All our Josephs die, and a thousand comforts die with them. Egypt was never the same to Israel after Joseph was dead, nor can the world again be to some of us what it was when our beloved ones were alive. But see how the pain of that sad death was alleviated. They had a promise that the living God would visit them. A visit from Jehovah. What a favor! What a consolation! What a heaven below! O Lord, visit us this day, though indeed we are not worthy that thou shouldst come under our roof. But more was promised. The Lord would bring them out. They would find in Egypt a cold welcome when Joseph was dead. Nay, it would become to them a house of bondage. But it was not to be so forever. They would come out of it by a divine deliverance and march to the land of promise. We shall not weep here forever. We shall be called home to the glory land to join our dear ones. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Thank you.
18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of messages on the subject of prayer, dealing especially with Christ's own instructions as found in the Lord's Prayer. The first, and indeed the chief petition in the prayer and in all prayer, is, "Hallowed be thy name." Today, Dr. Cairns continues an examination of the second petition, "Thy kingdom come." As we've seen, the kingdom referred to here is that kingdom of grace which a person enters by receiving Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord. So this is a prayer for salvation. Furthermore, it is a prayer for sanctification, a sincere desire for God to take complete control of our lives. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this theme of "Thy kingdom come," praying for the reign of grace.
The rich young ruler was intensely sincere in seeking a place in the kingdom. The rich young ruler was excellent in his morals. He could look the Son of God in the face, and as much as any man on earth could possibly say concerning the commandments of God, "I have kept these from my youth up." He could do that. Sincere, moral, religious, interested in having a place in eternal life, a place in the kingdom of God. And yet, he turned away, still outside the kingdom, still outside of life, sincerely, religiously, morally, on his way to hell. If ever you want an insight into what is foolishly called the Lordship Salvation controversy, this is the passage to turn to, or at least it is one key passage to turn to. If ever a man could have said, "I will have Christ as my Savior, but I don't want him as my Lord," that man was the rich young ruler. And if he had been in most fundamental churches today, he would have been welcomed and baptized and brought into the church, still on his way to hell, as a man who had Christ as his Savior, but he simply didn't acknowledge him as Lord. And you can't do it. If you're going to pray, "Thy kingdom come," it starts in your own heart. It is hypocritical to pray, "Thy kingdom come in the world," when I don't want it in my own heart. And to want it in your own heart, to desire it in your own soul, is willingly to come under the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ as King and Lord. This is a biblical definition or description of true repentance. And that's how a person enters into the kingdom. If you were British people, there's a name that would immediately mean a lot to you. But I've discovered even among many very highly educated folk over here, it means absolutely nothing. It just shows you that history is what you're taught where you live from the slant of that particular place. One of the great heroes of British history was Admiral Lord Nelson. Nelson, Admiral of the Fleet, famous as one of the greatest naval warriors and tacticians England ever produced. And remember, until recently, Her Majesty, or His Majesty as the case may be, Royal Navy, had to rule the waves, because that little country was just a sitting duck for anybody who wanted to come. So her sailors were men of renown. Lord Nelson was known for many things. One day, having defeated a French force — the battles in those days were always between England and France, at sea. A French naval officer came on board, proudly strode up to Lord Nelson and extended his hand. Nelson stood to attention and he said, "Sir, give me your sword, and then I will take your hand." That's the order. There are so many people who say, "Yes, I want a place in life. I want a place in God's kingdom. I want to know my sins forgiven." And like that arrogant officer, they walk up with their sword in their possession. "Give me your hand." Christ says, "Give me your sword, and I'll take your hand." When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're praying honestly, earnestly, for a place in penitence, crowning Christ as King of our life and Savior of our soul. That's what we're praying. Now let me ask you, this is so simple, but don't stumble over it. Let me ask you, in simplicity and honesty today, have you ever come to Jesus Christ on those terms? Have you ever approached God with that simple, honest prayer, with no strings attached, no ifs, no buts, no holding back, nothing of the rich young ruler saying, "Yes, I want what Christ has to say as long as he doesn't touch my pet sin"? None of that. "Lord, here I am, like the thief that was dying at the Savior's side. Remember me. Give me a place in your kingdom on your terms." That's the first thing it means to pray, "Thy kingdom come." And obviously it means then that we pray when we have come into Christ. We're praying, "Lord, bring me more and more under thy gracious dominion." When I pray, "Thy kingdom come," I'm praying, "Lord, let it come in me. Let it be extended in me. Let the rule and the dominion of Christ grow in me." In other words, this is a plea for Christ-likeness. Where do you find the full and perfect embodiment of perfect submission to the Father's rule? Where do you find it? In Jesus Christ. Did not the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased"? God saw in Christ a perfect submission, a perfect obedience. Christ is the embodiment of that submission to divine rule. When we pray, therefore, "Father, thy kingdom come," we are praying, "Lord, grant me to know real Christ-likeness of life." What is sanctification? Sanctification, you can give a theological definition, as they do, for instance, in the Shorter Catechism, defining it as a work of God's free grace. But sanctification, ultimately, is likeness to Jesus Christ. It is being conformed into the image of God's dear Son. It is the production more and more in his people of the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we are praying, "Lord, let me know that image stamped in my heart and life. Conform me to Christ. Rule my life more and more as Christ's life was ruled by the grace and power of God." In other words, when we're praying this, this is not abstract. "Oh Lord, your kingdom come." Doesn't that sound very holy? No, no, it's not abstract. It's personal. And what we're praying is this, and I want you to understand this. We're praying, "Lord, let me be ruled not living my life out of control. Understand it. That is the essence of Christian living. It is life under divine rulership. Christian liberty is not a liberty to live in sin. It is a liberty to live in holiness. Christian liberty is not freedom from rule. It is the joyous heart reception of the government of God. It's Christian liberty. We live in such confusing times when people will take the text of Scripture and they'll talk about Christian liberty as if it meant the liberty to be as like the world as you can possibly be. It is a liberty to be unlike the world, fearlessly to walk against the ways of the world, and to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. That's Christian liberty. And that's the only Christian liberty that the New Testament knows anything about. It's not a license. It is a desire to live a life that's under control. Let me be ruled, not out of control. Let me be ruled by my Father in heaven, not living out my life according to this world or simply out of self esteem, self-promotion, self-fulfillment, self-expression, or self-anything. Let me live my life under the control of my God and Father in heaven. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, let me know the power of His grace, the power of His cross. Let me know what it is to live under the domination of the gospel. That's what we're praying when we pray, Thy kingdom come. I read a statement by a man in England many years ago. Well, he made the statement many years ago. It seemed to me to sum up just the attitude of so many professing Christians. He said, yes, I've been a Christian for some time, and I have always acknowledged Christ as my King. But I'd have to say that he was a sort of a constitutional monarch. If you understand anything of the British system of government, we have a constitutional monarchy. He is the constitutional monarch, head of state. But I was prime minister, which meant he made the actual executive decisions and then went to God for his rubber stamp. But before we condemn him, is that not how most professing Christians live their lives? Oh yes, I acknowledge Christ as King. Until His kingly rule runs opposite to my selfish desire. And suddenly, He's just a constitutional monarch. He's acknowledged in words, but I am the executive who has the power. And I make the decisions. That man went on to say that God had to bring him brokenly to the place where Christ was no longer a constitutional monarch, but He was an absolute sovereign. And that's what we're praying for. Lord, bring me more and more under the absolute dominion of my Savior. Let me see Him in the gospel so that my thinking is governed by all that I learn of Christ in the gospel. Let my entire life be governed by what I believe about Jesus Christ. Let me not succumb to public opinion. Let me not be ruled by public policy. Let me not be ruled by what is expedient. Let me be ruled by what I believe about Jesus Christ. That's what we're praying when we pray, Thy kingdom come.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.